Tyler Aki and editor of Chicago District Golf Magazine, Barry Cronin.
Good morning and welcome on in. It's the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Tyler Aki alongside Barry Cronin. We're with you every single Sunday morning, 7 to 9 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. Also on the ESPN Chicago app, 100.3 HD2. And you can watch the show on Twitch, as always, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. What a wrap-up it was on that Father's Day to the U.S. Open. You had Will Zalatoris, Matt Fitzpatrick heading down the stretch. It looked like we may have had a playoff for the fourth time at the Country Club in Brookline in a U.S. Open. But Will Zalatoris just misses off that left edge. And it's enough to give Matthew Fitzpatrick his first victory on the PGA Tour. What a Sunday that was in the final round, Barry.
Pretty awesome final round. Matt Fitzpatrick was awesome. I mean, that he almost blew it. I mean, he hit the ball in the bunker. He pulled his tee shot into the bunker on number 18, and that was a pretty scary-looking bunker shot.
He didn't miss often during that final round, but when he did, he played excellent recovery golf, whether it was out of some thick stuff in the rough, whether it was that bunker shot like you alluded to there. He found a way to work around some of these really difficult shots and really those difficult greens as well. He putt the ball really well in that final round, really the whole weekend too. And we talked about it last Sunday. It was going to come down to the iron games for a lot of these players. And with that wind swirling the way that it was, Matthew Fitzpatrick navigated through that Sunday immaculately. And he was a very deserving champion for this U.S. Open.
Well, there's no doubt. And when you look at that 18th hole bunker shot and you think back to the day before when John Rahm had a bunker shot and hit the side of the bunker, didn't get it out.
We saw a few of those.
Yeah. So, I mean, for him to get it out, I mean, he had to have a perfect shot to do that. And he admitted later in his interviews that it was a little bit of hit and hope for that shot. And, it worked out for him. He hit a little fade into the green and, putted up there to a couple of, about an inch or two or three and actually tapped it in. I was sort of a little surprised that he tapped it in before Will made his putt, tried his putt. In that usually the winner wants to have the last shot,
right?
And everything, but yeah, it was terrific. I mean, he played great. He putted out of his mind for sure. He made some long putts and hung in, and good for him. I think he learned quite a bit from the PGA Championship at Southern Hills, where he was in contention but didn't quite get it done. And but anyway, he was a worthy champion for sure. And what was cool, Rory McIlroy, who finished in the top 10. He's got 16 top 10s in majors since he won 8 years ago. But he was waiting for Fitzpatrick at the green, so that was very classy and cool of him to do.
Yeah, Rory, he finishes in a tie for fifth he finished 2 under for the entire tournament there. Zalatoris and Scottie Scheffler at 5 under. Hideki Matsuyama makes a huge charge
right
on that final Sunday.
He did.
He goes 5 under in round 4 to finish 3 under and in sole possession of 4th place. Colin Morikawa and Rory McIlroy, like I mentioned, in that tie for 5th. Really, really strong leaderboard.
And it just shows you, you look at the iron play. I mean, Fitzpatrick, Scheffler, Zalatoris, Matsuyama, Colin Morikawa, Rory. I mean, those guys, the iron play was spectacular among all those guys. That's where it's at in these major championships. And, that Will Zalatoris putting stroke is quite frightening to look at by all accounts. And, you never know what's going to happen, but, he played great. He putted well. And I mean, he barely missed that last putt that he had, which was.
Did you think it was going down?
Well, I mean, it was 15 footer. I mean, it can either happen or not. I mean, amazingly, The make percentage on the PGA Tour from 8 feet is 50%, mm-hmm. right? So now he was putting great, playing great, so obviously his percentage is going to be higher. But 15 feet's kind of a long way.
Right.
We are so used to seeing Tiger and Phil and these other guys who just, I mean, they don't miss. They don't miss
right.
when they're in contention. And I think what you saw was I was sitting there watching and going, you know, what I really notice is that Tiger doesn't miss any of these shots. You know, these other guys do. Not that he hasn't won by, you know, been in playoffs and won by a shot or two. Mm-hmm. But he was such a clutch putter at all times that and these guys are, they're not quite Tiger, let's put it that way.
No,
we miss him. We miss him.
You are. So looking at the rest of and how everything sort of played out here with Will Zalatoris, I mean, he's a guy who this is another second place finish for him.
Right.
We talked about it last week. Like, could he actually do it again, come in second place again? We're not saying he doesn't have a chance to win, but anything but second. And there he is sitting in second place, still searching for that first big victory. And
well, his first still searching for any victory on the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, at least Fitzpatrick has played on the European Tour, and he's won 7 times in Europe. So he knows kind of how it feels to win. I mean, Will Zalatoris is great. I love the guy. And you can't help but root for a guy like that. But, man, you know, you think he would win on the PGA Tour somehow, and you wonder why, you know, he doesn't bring that same intensity or whatever to win on tour that he does in the majors. But, you know, he's going to have to do that because he's obviously top 50 in the world now and everything. But it'd be nice for him to secure his status on the PGA Tour. If you win on the tour, you get a 2-year exemption, so that helps you plan your life, plan your schedule, etc. I mean, he's got status because he's so high in the world rankings, but to have a win would be a good thing for him, I think.
Does it almost feel Brooks Koepka-esque with a guy like Zalatoris? He really brings in the majors, and everything else is just kind of there.
Yeah, but I don't think his attitude is, you know, Brooks is kind of like...
And there's Brooks news. We'll get to our Brooks news later on in the show.
Yeah, I mean, he's always been a little bit dismissive of regular PGA Tour events, I think. And he has the attitude that, hey, you know, I'm the man, and the rest of you schmucks, other than the 20 of you, I can beat everybody. And, you know, kind of how Jack Nicklaus used to feel, but with a little more arrogance to it, you know. Mm-hmm. Brooks's charming personality expresses that, you know, that in such a nice way.
Right. So with everything that happened after his U.S. Open victory here, Matthew Fitzpatrick, it's now the what's next game for him, right?
Yeah.
When I look at Fitzpatrick, one of those young sort of up-and-comers in the world of golf, he gets that elusive first victory and it comes as the U.S. Open champion. What do you think is next for a Matthew Fitzpatrick?
Well, I mean, it's hard to see. We always hear the golf commentators say, oh, you know, this guy, he's broken through and now he's going to win in bunches.
Right.
If you have heard that once, you've heard it 50,000 times. And really, the only guy who's won in bunches since I've been alive is like Tiger Woods.
Right.
You know, he won in bunches. Mm-hmm. Okay. So will Matthew Fitzpatrick be like this dominant player? Doesn't seem like he is. I mean, he's gained yardage off the tee. He had a great putting week. He's a terrific iron player. Be interesting to see how he plays at St. Andrews. He's the kind of guy who might be able to do well there the way he plays, the trajectory of his ball, his putting is good. I think he's definitely in the mix for St. Andrews for sure. But, you know, he hasn't won on the PGA Tour yet, which is in a regular PGA Tour event, which shouldn't be as hard as winning the U.S. Open,
right.
Theoretically. Will Zalatoris and Matt Fitzpatrick, I mean, they both have never won on the PGA Tour before, and they really kind of still haven't in that, you know, Matt Fitzpatrick has won the U.S. Open, which is part of the tour, but it's not run by the PGA Tour.
Are you surprised with some of the leaderboards and even final pairings to a degree that we've seen in majors? It's been a weird major year in golf. When you look at, starting with the Masters, Scottie Scheffler, out of nowhere. Not just him, though. Cameron Smith also never had really won on the PGA Tour heading into this year. And then finally the calendar flips to 2022 and he unlocks something along with Scheffler, who unlocks something. Then you look at this past the PGA Championship and you get a guy like Mito Pereira, who had never really done much. And now he's in the mix for things. And obviously the story there is Justin Thomas and his magical comeback down the stretch. And now you get another event like this where it feels like we've had odd leaderboards, yet you've still seen a lot of the big dogs in the mix. I mean, you still see in a tournament like this one at the U.S. Open, Hideki Matsuyama's right there. Colin Morikawa, Rory McIlroy, all right there in the thick of things at the end. But the champion, for a lot of casual golf fans, is somewhat unknown.
Right. The cream kind of rises to the top in these majors, and that really is terrific. Scottie Scheffler, for example, you say, well, you know, nobody knew who he was before the Masters. Well, he had won a couple of times on the PGA Tour this year. In 21, he didn't win. But you know what? I think when he played the Ryder Cup up at Whistling Straits, he played great, and they drafted him on that team. Jordan Spieth kind of advocated for him to be on that team, and I think he kind of had a coming out in that event. He had a good record there, and I think he felt part of the camaraderie of that group and felt part of something. And I feel like he came out this year, and I think they kind of brought that confidence and that swagger. You know, he's always been a great player. I mean, as a junior player, as a college player, U.S. amateur, he played here. He won the Korn Ferry Tour event here in Chicago in 2019. So he's been steadily, you know, he's been a great player for a long time. So in a way, you can't say that, oh, you're surprised that Scottie Scheffler won. Now, the average person who doesn't follow golf or whatever, even if you do follow golf, you never know what's going to happen with these guys because it gets to be a box of chocolates. You know, you never really know which one you're going to get. But Scheffler, great. And, of course, Fitzpatrick, he had won at the country club before when he won the U.S. Amateur in 2013. Matsuyama, he was a surprise when he won the Masters in a way because nobody thought that he could putt. But what a great iron player. And he's obviously improved his game. So, yeah, JT, for example. I mean, you know, he won from ahead. You're right, Mito Pereira. But you're always going to have guys who have a great week. So, for example, some of the guys on this leaderboard this week. Just at the U.S. Open. You know, people don't know Denny McCarthy, right? Mm-hmm. Adam Hadwin, Seamus Power. Who are these? Oh, a couple of these other guys. Hayden Buckley, right? People don't know who. Adam Schenck. You know, they don't know who people are. You know, they don't know, but it's because they haven't been on the scene consistently dominating and playing. And it'll be interesting to see. I think Fitzpatrick's a quality player. It'll be really good to see what he does in the future. I think it'll be interesting. And I think he could be in contention at the British Open.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've got a great show planned for you today. Claire Peterson, the tournament director of the John Deere Classic, is going to join us at 7:45. Also, Nick Hardy, who finished tied for 14th at the U.S. Open and is the Illini Golf Star, Glenbrook North Golf Star. He's going to join us at 8:15 as well. So we've got lots to do here on the CDGA Golf Show. When we come back, though, I do want to get into a little bit more with the U.S. Open and also some intriguing stuff coming out of the LIV Golf Tour as well. We'll do all that when we come back. It's the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This is the CDGA Golf Show.
Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now.
This is the CDGA Golf Show
on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
And Matthew Fitzpatrick is a champion again at the Country Club in Brookline. and once again, Zalatoris comes just short. Billy Foster's got his major, and Matthew Fitzpatrick has his first win on the PGA Tour, and it's a major title.
Highlights courtesy of NBC as Matthew Fitzpatrick, the U.S. Open champion. This segment brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our three Chicagoland locations today. Tyler Aki alongside Barry Cronin with you on the CDGA Golf Show. You heard it as Matthew Fitzpatrick picks up that major victory there. Will Zalatoris just off the edge, could have forced the playoff, would have been an intriguing little stretch there because those two were going back and forth. It wasn't really back and forth, but it felt back and forth. Like you didn't see their scores go ping-ponging back and forth in terms of, oh, one guy's leading here, then he drops off a little bit. But it felt, you could feel the back and forth sort of energy associated with it down the stretch.
Fitzpatrick grabbed the lead and kind of held it, and but Zalatoris was right there. I mean, and then he hits when Fitzpatrick hit the ball in the bunker on 18. You thought, okay,
here we
now
go.
Here's the opening, and here's where Zalatoris is going to, you know, have a chance. But you know, when Fitzpatrick hit that unbelievable bunker shot out of the under the green, and then you know, basically two putted. I mean, he two putted for. Yeah, I don't know. He had a 25-footer, probably to a few inches, and then tapped it in. And then Zalatoris missed that putt. I mean, yeah, it was right there. We would have had a two-hole playoff, and which would have been unique. And we would who knows what we would have had. But, I mean, it would have been great. More golf. That's what we would have wanted. So
On Father's Day, no less.
Overall, though, I have to say, you know, we had John Bodenhammer on. We were fortunate enough to have him on a couple of weeks ago, who basically was in charge of setting up the golf course. And the USGA did a great job, really, with that golf course. They had, I mean, they've been ripped in the past by the players who are always screaming and yelling about the setup for years. And, they didn't do that this year. It was really a fair, challenging, tough setup, and it's what the players wanted and what I think the public expects from a U.S. Open. I mean, there have been some years here recently where we've had pretty easy U.S. Opens. I mean, where the course was wide open for them, and they just went and took it down. You know, Brooks Koepka up at the Erin Hills, just it was like nothing.
Right.
And so really Rory McIlroy at Congressional, I mean, shot 16 under not that long ago. So actually about 8 years ago. But, you know, this was a terrific setup. So the congratulations to the USGA. We got to give them their props for doing a great job of setting up the course and setting it up in a way that was challenging, but not ridiculous.
Right. Justin Thomas, you could hear him. He was mic'd up walking down one of the fairways. I can't remember which hole it was, but he was saying how this is what a U.S. Open should feel like.
Exactly.
Right? It's challenging, and you're not going too low like some of those other ones that you mentioned, and it was a fair challenge.
And there was a point, you know, it was a point with the U.S. Open years and years ago where they would grow the rough right up against the fairway, you know, to 4 inches.
Mm-hmm.
So you're chopping out every time, and then right around the green would be 4-inch rough. I mean, it was ridiculous. You couldn't, there was no chipping at all, right? It was just hacking. You would hit the ball, you'd miss the green, and now you're hacking out to try to get on the green. So it was, it wasn't that, it was kind of ridiculous at that point, too. So I think they found a good person to set up the golf course, and they've done a good job. So there you go.
I look at the I don't want to say turning point because I don't think that's the right phrase for it, but one of the signature moments from this U.S. Open came on that 14th hole where Fitzpatrick, he goes out and birdies, and it looks like he's going to be in some trouble, right? He hits that shot way off to the right.
Zalatoris.
And Zalatoris didn't have a great shot either, but it looked like Fitzpatrick was going to have the more difficult shot off of the tee. But then you see the lie. He's in some of that dead stuff.
He was in trampled grass,
yes,
where the crowd had been, and he had a shot through the trees.
Yes.
He had a shot to the green Whereas, and it, go ahead, you were going to say about Zalatoris.
But, and then Zalatoris, he's in the rough, but he's in the thick stuff there. He right. had the more difficult shot, even though he had the cleaner look in.
Exactly. And he, you know, he wasn't as far offline as Fitzpatrick, but you know, that's tournament golf. You know, you're always, when you have crowds, you're going to, you know, hope for the trampled down grass that you, yeah. hopefully your ball will be on that. And yeah, and that was a good, it was good luck for Fitzpatrick and bad for Zalatoris.
And what's funny about it too is our friend of the show, James Colgan, he was at the U.S. Open and he was telling me he was sitting right in that area there. Fitzpatrick got a bounce off of a fan. And that sort of set him up in that entrampled grass there. If not, if he doesn't hit that fan there, he's going way off to the right in some even thicker stuff. And we may have seen a playoff, or we may not have even seen a playoff featuring Matthew Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
That's how good of a break he got there.
100%. There's a lot of breaks, as you know, in tournament golf. We don't get those same breaks.
Right.
When we play, where are the fans?
Right.
Why isn't there somebody to
backboard.
Hit?
Backboard.
Why can't we hit somebody in the head and have it bounce into the middle of the fairway? I would appreciate that occasionally. Or the occasional hospitality suite where they hit it in there and they get these drops. Like, there's so many people getting drops that are like, wow, he hit it way offline, and he hit it behind the hospitality tent. Comes out, and they give a guy a drop, and you go, "Really? How did that work?" You know, we'd be hitting it, we'd be chopping it out from behind some trees or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, you know, tournament golf, it is what it is. But yeah, he got a break, and it's kind of like back in the day, Arnold Palmer. The fans used to just throw the ball out, you know, if he hit a wayward shot.
Well, it's better than, I guess, what John Rahm faced. What was that, the Friday or the Thursday round that he was in? I think it was the Friday round. When two kids just snatched his ball up and ran off with it.
Exactly. And he says, "I saw them. I saw the kids that ran away." And then he got a drop, which actually, you're right, that benefited him a lot because he got a drop and these kids.
Free drop, yeah.
It's great that the kids took the ball because he would have had a more challenging shot.
What do you think that, like, the kids stealing the ball there? I mean, yeah. it reminds me of, oh, you're going down one fairway, another group's coming from the other fairway, ball comes into your fairway, and like, oh, this might be my Titleist right here.
Yeah, if it's a noodle, you don't say that so much,
right.
You know, but yeah.
No, but it was a fantastic finish at the U.S. Open. We've been treated to some really great finishes, too. Like, we talked a little bit about how the leaderboards and things have been exciting and intriguing, and there's been different names being thrown into the fold all season long on the PGA Tour and in the major tournaments as well. But the finishes, I mean, everything's been intriguing from hole 1 through 18 on Sundays with some of these guys. And those 18th holes have provided fantastic drama, whether it was Mito, whether it was Scottie Scheffler holding down the fort, whether
poor Scottie, yeah.
whether it was this past weekend, too, with Fitzpatrick going back and forth with Zalatoris. I mean, it's been great drama.
Oh, yeah. We've had it's been a really terrific major season. And even though Scheffler had that four-shot lead when he went into 18, I mean, it was such a joyous occasion at the Masters. I mean, it was really a lot of fun to watch him finish, et cetera. And then he like three putted the 18th green, but it didn't matter because he had such a big lead. But yeah, I mean, it certainly the PGA was absolutely terrific. Southern Hills was set up great. Mito Pereira, you know, you always need a foil, and it wound up being that Justin Thomas had a little more experience than he did. And but you know, he's played well since then. And certainly the U.S. Open was great. And what I thought was pretty cool about the U.S. Open, too, was that earlier in the week, there were guys that, you know, you really hadn't heard much about. This Denny McCarthy guy.
You've been all over him.
Adam had one. Well, hey, I picked him. I think that got me in the top, you know, whatever.
Bring you some sandwiches, that's for sure.
Exactly. I am a Jersey Mike guy all the time. And Adam Hadwin, guys that, you know, that you really don't, Joel Damon, right? People don't know. These are guys that, you know, are on the periphery of the PGA Tour in terms of golf fan awareness. And these guys they played terrific. Keegan Bradley, you know, he won the PGA Championship so long ago, God knows when it was. But maybe I'll think 2011. But he played great in front of the home fans. You know, he's from in that.
That was another cool moment,
England.
Too.
Yeah,
the everybody down the 18th.
Exactly. You know, he threw out the first pitch at the Red Sox game earlier in the week, and he played well. He was in contention on Sunday, but you know he didn't quite have it. But you know, I mean, gosh, he finished T7, so that was good. It was overall just a really good tournament, I think, overall.
Yeah, it's certainly entertaining. All right, when we come back, some big news in the world of golf media. There is going to be a major shakeup at CBS. We'll discuss all of that, and we've also got Claire Peterson joining us coming up at 7:45 as well, tournament director for the John Deere Classic. You're going to be out at the John Deere Classic, so we're going to get a great report from you next week. Looking forward to that on the show. This is the CDGA Golf Show. This segment is sponsored by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our three Chicagoland locations today.
This is the CDGA Golf Show
on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000.
Here are your hosts, Barry Cronin
and Tyler Rocky.
The segment sponsored by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. Tyler Rocky, Barry Cronin with you on the CDGA Golf Show. Watch us every single Sunday, 7 to 9 a.m. on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. We'll talk to Claire Peterson coming up in just a little bit, about 10 minutes from now. And we will also talk with Nick Hardy as well. We had a chance to speak with him earlier in the week on Wednesday. Obviously, he's out at the Travelers right now and having success once again, stringing together back-to-back really solid weeks. So we will talk to Nick coming up at 8:15 today on the CDGA Golf Show. But the big news out of the golf media world, it's going to change the way that we watch golf effective in mid-August. Nick Faldo is leaving CBS after 16 years as the lead golf analyst there. It'll be the 2008 Masters champion Trevor Immelman that will step into his place. Really, really shocking stuff coming out of the booth from CBS.
Right, and it was shocking. But, you know, he has been there quite some time. And, you know, it's interesting, if you follow him on Instagram, which I do, of all things. I can't believe that I do, but I do. You know, he's takes a lot of pictures with his wife, and they're up in Montana. He's building a ranch, and he's got a big farm up there. And my understanding, he's going to live there part time at least, and then rent out part of the ranch to people for different occasions, etc. But and he's got he's got his own Faldo golf series that he has for juniors and up and coming players, and he does have a golf course design business. So I think after having been on the road, I mean, when you think about it, I mean, he's probably been a pro since he's 18 years old. So those Europeans, in his era, the Europeans didn't come over here to go to college so much and play on American college golf. They just turned pro. So. I think, you know, he's been on the road a long time, and I think he'll still be on the road, but it'll be on his schedule. I have to say, Faldo, when he first became a broadcaster, he didn't know anything about broadcasting. So mm-hmm. I really admired his commitment. He went on Golf Channel all the time. He became the Golf Channel regular guy. And so he was broadcasting, where some of these guys, you only hear him Saturday, Sunday. But he was doing the early rounds. Mm-hmm. And I think that really helped him a lot. He worked at his craft, so I have to say I admire him.
How shocked were you?
I was pretty shocked.
Especially timing and everything. You're coming off of a U.S. Open, and all of a sudden, one of the big-time voices of golf is stepping down.
Right, and I know that I was talking with somebody at CBS the other day, and they said, well, I said, well, was that shock to you? And they said, well, we kind of knew, you know, that he was going to, they knew about it for a while, of course, because they had to have, he gave them enough notice that they could have Immelman in line to take over. And of course, Immelman, I think what CBS, given that for CBS, the Masters is the key.
Right.
That's the one tournament that everybody knows. It's in the same place every year. It's world famous. Starts off the year, it's in April. So they feel like, I think they feel like they have to have a Masters champion in that seat. And, you know, the perfect guy to have taken over would have been Mickelson, but he needed more money. So he couldn't take the pay cut. So he went.
Yeah, I don't think CBS is handing out the Tom Brady contract.
No. The 200 million that he got to go play for the Saudis, not there at CBS. But I thought Immelman was a pretty good choice. I've always sort of liked him, and I thought that he, you know, not only does he do well on the broadcast. But he did well on the match, right?
Yes, that's right.
He broadcast the match with Brady and Charles Barkley was in the mix and all that stuff. And I thought that he really held his own with Charles, and he showed more of his personality in that. Because I didn't know that. I always thought he was pretty good in terms of analyzing shots and giving you the idea of what was going on the golf course. But then all of a sudden, I'm like, wait a minute. He's got a pretty good personality.
Right.
So I thought that was good. And I think one thing about Faldo, a lot of people don't, there's a contingent, of course, there's always haters, right? Mm-hmm. There's a contingent that doesn't like Faldo, you know, for whatever reason, you know, he doesn't have a good personality. He doesn't give you as much about golf and et cetera. But I think Immelman is would be a good pick. And, you know, I don't know who else it would have been, frankly. I mean, because if you have to have a former Masters champion, it, you know, he's the guy.
Now, you are 1,000% right. When Immelman got his chance at the match to really shine and show off that personality, it was great. I'm just wondering, when he goes to, well, he's been at CBS, obviously, but when he's the guy at CBS, does everything get a little more buttoned up? Because it's a little bit different than doing a match on TNT with Charles Barkley alongside you. Everyone's wearing shorts and all that
100%.
Stuff. 100%.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But I think what's going to be even more challenging for these guys is to... The great thing, he's got Jim Nantz, who's so solid.
Yeah.
It's not an easy job. I mean, you watch the transition between Johnny Miller and Paul Azinger. I mean, Johnny Miller was out of this world great. I think Azinger's gotten better and better, but you know, it's not easy. We as consumers, especially in Chicago, right? You turn on any broadcast, any station, all these people are so good at what they do in Chicago that it's like you just take it for granted. You take for granted the excellence, and I think we take for granted the excellence in these network golf broadcasts. We take it for granted. So it's going to be, you know, he's going to have to up his game. He's going to have to, you know, get a little bit of an identity, and he's going to have some signature calls that he's going to make. But he'll learn. I think he'll be a great learner. He'll work hard.
Yeah, he's risen quickly.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. And I mean, what's great about him is he knows golf. I mean, he's from South Africa. He's been a world-class golfer since he was a little kid. He was playing all over the world as a young guy. So there isn't anything he doesn't know about golf. He's been around all these tours for years. He's been in the U.S. He's exposed to everything. He understands American culture, which is important when you're broadcasting. So, you know, it'll be great to see how he evolves, and I think he'll wind up being real good.
Yeah. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk with Claire Peterson, the tournament director of the John Deere Classic. That is coming up in just a little bit on the CDGA Golf Show. This segment sponsored by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Barry Cronin and Tyler Aki.
It's the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Tyler Aki and Barry Cronin. We're with you every single Sunday morning here on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2. And the ESPN Chicago app. This segment brought to you by Tullymore Golf Resort. Experience a Michigan masterpiece. Let's head on out to the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's is sub above, where we find Claire Peterson, the tournament director of the John Deere Classic, his final year as the tournament director of the John Deere Classic as well. Claire, thanks so much for joining us on this Sunday morning.
No, my pleasure. Looking forward to talking to you guys.
Hey, Claire, we're going to have a great tournament coming up this week out of the Quad Cities, a TPC Deer Run. We've got a pretty good field when you think about it. We got a lot of guys who were in contention at the U.S. Open.
Yeah, we do. We've always tried to explain to everyone that 156 world-class athletes are showing up. And we've got a long track record of identifying kind of a new class of players that might succeed down the road, as well as veterans who have already succeeded and champions who have won here and come back, and all those categories are covered. The U.S. Open, yeah, it was fun to watch. Adam Hadwin was an ad this week. He had a great U.S. Open. Of course, Chicago's Nick Hardy, who's playing great. At the Travelers is going to be here. Adam Schenck, who almost won here last year, he had a nice U.S. Open. So when you look at that many, again, 156 players, there's a lot of storylines for a spectator if they want to follow an individual player or someone they maybe haven't had a chance to see in person. It's always kind of exciting that way.
Claire, one of the things you did when you took over 20 years ago, which is incredible amount of time, actually, when you think about it, and even before when you were the kind of the tournament liaison, you were with John Deere and you were kind of going back and forth, is it, you know, among all, a lot of creative things that you did was your whole thing was inviting younger players, young up-and-coming players to come to the tournament as sponsor exemptions. I mean, you think about it. You know, I think probably the number one guy that you had in there was Zach Johnson from Cedar Rapids. You gave him two exemptions in a row, even though he missed the cut a couple of times. Jordan and he went on to win the Masters and the British Open. Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Patrick Reed, Lucas Glover, the defending champion this year. And I think you did this before all the other tournament directors started to copy you.
Yeah, I don't know if I can claim rights to that.
I'm giving you props.
We had Bryson DeChambeau here too as a sponsor exemption before he got muscular.
Yeah,
but
and he won.
Yeah, he did
later.
It was, you know, a conscious decision to develop relationships with players that we certainly respected as individuals and hoped would succeed and kind of bet on to succeed. Webb Simpson was another one who's coming back this year.
Yeah.
Jason Day as a 17-year-old who's coming back this year. So that was the hope, is that we would give him a start and develop a relationship and be able to talk to him for decades. And that certainly has taken place. We've got a couple exciting invites this year. Chris Goddard from Oklahoma, who's won the Haskins Award, the Nicholas Award. He's another U.S. Open story, and he'll be here. He's made the cut and playing well, actually, at the Travelers this week. Chicago's own Patrick Flavin, the Monday killer. He's qualified for five Monday qualifiers, which is incredibly hard. You have to beat so many players in order to pull that off. They only take four out of probably 150 when you count the pre-qualifiers, probably 200 some really good players that on one day you have to beat, and he's done it five times. So, and we just got a young guy, Luke Gannon, in the field this last week from Southern Illinois, who was another U.S. Open story, made the cut. Terrific young guy when you get to know his story and his dreams. So, yeah, thanks for the accolades, and we were proud of the guys that we've invited here and have had a nice... It's funny you mentioned Zach Johnson. He was my first sponsor exemption when I became tournament director. You're right, that we gave him two. I was on the board before I became tournament director. And Zach, the hardest thing I had to do with Zach was convince him that he didn't have to call me Mr. Peterson every time. And quite honestly, Justin Thomas did the same thing, which tells you something about their upbringing and what guys are. This year, Davis Riley is the guy that keeps calling me Mr. Peterson. So it's kind of funny.
Mr. Peterson, our guest here on the CDGA Golf Show. Claire Peterson, the tournament director of the John Deere Classic on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. So you brought up one of your former champions, Bryson DeChambeau. With everything going on right now with the LIV Golf Tour, how disheartening is it for you to not have one of your former champions back?
Oh, we didn't expect to have Bryson back, quite honestly. He hasn't been back for the last few iterations, even after he won in 2017. He had an injury and had to pull out during the first round of 2018. So any of those LIV guys, when you look at that field, we didn't really expect them to be here. And quite honestly, it's a whole different proposition for a fan, and one that we're looking forward to standing up against, I guess. An exhibition with 48 guys, no cut. Shotgun start, they blow into town, do their thing, get millions, and then leave town. Our event's totally different from that. We've got the Super Bowl happening here in our community. It's the biggest thing going, and we've got 50 plus year history now of that being, you know, something that is important to the community from an economic standpoint. There's $50 million of economic impact, 156 unbelievable players, many of whom, you know, are going to realize their dreams here. One may, you know, win for the first time, and then, you know, we follow them through their career. And more importantly, I think, is that when the event leaves town, this charitable vehicle that the tournament drives is totally kicked into gear, and in October we'll give out to 470 or so different organizations about $13 million. So there's nothing about this event that has anything to do with what's happening in Oregon, except they're playing the same game.
Well, and the other thing is, Claire, even in the debut of the LIV series, I think they had 100,000 viewers on, and you have to watch it on your computer, pretty much, or on YouTube, I guess, on the YouTube TV. So, it matters what vehicle you have to deliver your tournament to fans. And we have CBS out at the John Deere Classic, and we've had them for many years, a great partner.
It's incredible the reach that a PGA Tour event has when it's on network TV. We just presented to the Deere Seniors a week ago and reiterated that there's 300 million households for the domestic broadcast, and then another 800 million when it's rebroadcast to 200 plus countries. So for a company like John Deere, which does business all over the world, literally, that has incredible value, and one of the reasons that they're the third longest title sponsor now, behind AT&T and Honda. If you're a title sponsor that doesn't do business worldwide, you kind of lose out on that. But Deere gets extra value because of the reach and because they do business all over the world. I mean, if you're selling mortgages or insurance, I don't think that all those eyes in those 200 countries have as much value to you. Yeah.
Exactly.
Claire Peterson, tournament director for the final time at the John Deere Classic this year, coming up next week. Thanks so much for spending some time with us here on the CDGA Golf Show.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Claire. See you in a little while.
Claire Peterson, tournament.
Get on the road, Barry.
Hurry up.
Claire Peterson joining us on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. When we come back, Barry, I do want to dive into the PGA Tour's response to LIV Golf and some of the things that we've seen start to take form over the past week of this new series that the PGA Tour is looking to roll out. You and I have been talking about this. What was going to be the counterpunch from the PGA Tour? So we'll dive into that. Jay Monahan, the commissioner of the PGA Tour, also had some strong words as well. We'll bring those to you when we come back. It's the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. This segment brought to you by Tullymore Golf Resort, up North Michigan Golf without the drive.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.